Welcome to the Life Changing Encounter with the Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Jato Tusun Kamwinenye, the head pastor of Fountain Gates Chapel, Glorious Pastures, Hope. His messages centers on the Holy Ghost, righteousness, faith, discipline, the love of God, and order in the body of Christ. These great teachings provide clear and straightforward answers to anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive teachings as taught by the man of God.
So I can tell all my friends
you've won again.
That you have won again.
Today we want to look at our theme for this year. But anointing and faith goes together. You cannot be anointed if you don't have faith. Faith is even believing that God is able. Anybody that does not have faith cannot operate in the anointing. Let's see Psalm 78 and the verse 19. Psalm 78 verse 19. Yea, they speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now God likes this one. This one was the Israelites putting doubt on the ability of God. It means their faith was dead. They lack anointing. Their anointing had dried up. Anybody whose anointing has dried up will begin to ask God these questions. And people who don't have faith will look at you and say, can God make this woman, a better person? Can God prosper this person? Can God grow this church? Can God bless this city? Can God grant me employment? Can God give me a child? Can God give me a job? Can God promote me? Immediately can comes inside. You have offended God. No, because God cannot be cited with can. He is able. He can do anything. When you say somebody can, it means the person, has he got the ability? Can he? So when you add can to God, can God bless me? You are telling God that maybe he doesn't have that ability to bless you. Amen. So this question offended God. And like somebody said, it means you have scratched on the integrity of God. What is integrity? Walking your talk and talking your walk. So God's word is eternal. But can God furnish a table? In the wilderness. What is a wilderness? A dry place. What is a wilderness? In fact, when you look at Ghana, you look at Accra, you look at Kumasi, you look at who, you can classify who as a wilderness. Because a lot of things are not here. A lot of businesses are not here. A lot of companies are not here. A lot of the big men are not here. So you can be in Ho and be asking God, can he bless you like somebody in Accra? That was why I was saying that God can bless us who be in Ho and go to Dubai and go to China and come. It is possible. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You are in the wilderness, so you are tempted to believe that that is where you will die. But God is good. Hallelujah. So that is the first thing you will use to gauge yourself, whether your anointing is drying or is coming. When you start putting question mark on God, don't blame the devil. Your anointing, the oil on your head is gone. Can God? You are not doubting God. Can he? You are not comparing to man. Can God? Compare it to your father's idol, which promises and fails. God never promises and fails. Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Holy there. Go back to one. There is a teaching here. I'll just touch it. A shepherd, shepherds sheep, tends sheep, suffers for sheep, not because they are just sheep, but he benefits from the sheep. One, they give him wool. They give him meat. They give him milk. So if the Lord is our shepherd, what are you giving? If you are a sheep and you cannot produce wool, you can't produce milk, you can't produce meat, I don't know what you are. And I believe God put this thing there to tell us that he demands some response from us. And when people's faith dwindles, they look at what God can give them, guiding them, shepherding them, protecting them, blessing them. But they don't see as sheep their benefit to God. May you benefit God. There are a lot of Christians who are not beneficial to God. They are really a problem to God. Every day complaints. Even in their prayer, they complain to God. They can never thank him for once or bless him. But if he makes you to lie down in green pastures, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Why?
He has an intention.
He has an intention. You will eat well and drink well just because he requires a return from you. Should he just feed you, make you plump, drink good water, look fresh just for fresh sake? Should God make you beautiful, handsome just for beauty and handsomeness sake? Should God make you rich, prosperous, just for riches and prosperity sake? No. He wants you to bring him the honor and the glory and returns. But today's Christianity doesn't go that. Go to verse 5. This is the meat for the year. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I told us on the last day that this anointing is the dashing anointing, the running over anointing, which is the one God wants us to have in 2018. I am thinking about how 2018 will be. And I know that I must pay a heavy price to see that. It's not going to be easy. If you sit down and you operate like 2017, you will end like 2017. But if you operate like you are in a new year and for new things, you will get new benefits. Said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. So today, the topic is power on your head. Thou anointed my head with oil. That anointing must be on your head. I don't know why most anointings in the Bible for priests and kings are always on the head. But the head is very significant. The head is very significant. In any group, in any family, if there is an anointing and it doesn't settle upon the head, it means the head is not correct. But God will want to put it on the head. But if the head is not there, then they can go to the beard or the shoulders. But the order is that thou anointed my head with oil. Dashing anointing. So when you have oil on your head, and may you have oil on your head, a few things follow. One, oil on your head leads to running over blessing. If you stop being anointed, the blessing will stop coming. Wow. Now look at your life. When things are fine, and when things seem to be fizzling out, snuffing out your life, you can only attribute it to the dryness on your head. Because it's the anointing. The anointing will bring favor, will bring honor, will bring, and those things, when they come on you, there is a blessing. Now, it's unfortunate that when we talk about blessing, people think about cash. It may be part of a blessing, but a blessing is a blessing. You can't quantify. It makes life easy. Hallelujah. Says oil on your head leads to running over blessing. What is running over blessing? Running over blessing is you having enough to spare. Having enough to take care of other people. Having enough to bless other people. Having enough to encase other people. If you don't have running over blessing, you can know it by seeing how many things leave your life to other people. Physical things, or material things, and spiritual things. How many things live your life? Because it's a normal human life to be expecting from north, south, east, and west without thinking of giving. Because giving is not that easy. So the day you stop being anointed, and when I'm talking about anointing, you must include the things that bring the anointing to you. So the day you stop doing the things that bring anointing, most of which are spiritual, reading your scriptures, praying, fasting, living a holy life and those things, then you realize that your blessing is being stifled. The time you see you are backsliding, things may look like they are running normally, but anointing is lacking. Hallelujah. The time the devil comes to hit you and you lie down flat, shows that anointing is lacking. Because when the devil knocks somebody with an anointing, no matter how the person falls down, the person will rise up. No, you rise up. The righteous falleth 7 times, and 7 times you rise. It's an anointing because he's righteous. And the righteousness is not about him. The righteousness is about the one that saved him. Two, oil on your head brings goodness and mercy. That is the verse 6 of this. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oil on your head will bring goodness and mercy. People will bless you. Mercy will follow you. goodness and mercy come to this house in the name of Jesus. The things that should put you in prison, they'll tell you that you are acquitted and discharged. It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. So, goodness and mercy includes all the benefits oil brings. So, oil is applied on sheep. Like Reverend Sue said, when the temperature is hot, they can apply oil on the sheep to reduce the heat of the sun. And when they have sores, they use oil to dress them and all those kind of things. So, the goodness and mercy includes all the benefit oil brings to sheep when it is applied. So when they say goodness and mercy shall follow you, anything that oil brings to sheep when they apply it to sheep, what does oil do to sheep? Because they used to apply oil on the sheep, like we apply oil on ourselves as the sheep of God. And that is goodness and mercy. So I want to go to another level, examples of the benefits of oil. This one too applies to sheep. One, Exodus 30, 30 and 31. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Anointing brings separation. When you are anointed, you are separated. Even from your mother's children, you are separated. If you are... I don't see a group of unbelievers roaming and one gets born again and you are not separated. If you are not separated, I doubt. You realize that the unbelieving friends can't go with you again. God immediately, your thinking changes, your way of doing things change. So you don't automatically say, I don't want to be with you. But it's a spiritual separation. They themselves don't feel comfortable coming to you, because when they come to you, the things you used to do, you don't do them again. The language you used to speak, you don't speak it again. So they don't find it comfortable coming unto you. You are separated. So God separates us with the anointing throughout our generations for spiritual purposes. May you be separated. Anybody that says you are anointed and you can still call an unbeliever your very tight friend, you have a serious problem with being anointed. Oil separated Aaron and his children from others. It was the same Israel. So let me even go deeper. That in a church like this, that we all come to church and we are all Christians, when an anointing falls on you, bah, even among Christians, because of our natural and carnal tendencies, some people that were fine with you will start envying you. They will start moving away from you. And they will form another group to talk about you. Because where you have reached, God has elevated you above them, separated you from them. And they won't take it kindly at all. It happens. It happens among church members. Happens among church leaders. Happens among pastors. Because it's God that separates. But immediately it's done. Bah. Trouble. Maybe this year we're choosing new leaders. When we select the leaders and finish, maybe you're rooming with somebody, they pick him or her as a leader and they left you. If you don't take time, you and that person can no move. Why are we all following each other? We're all the same. We all talk the same language. Why do they choose this person and didn't choose me? It becomes a problem. But it's a separation, and it's based on the anointing that is on the person, the qualities that the shepherd has seen and has separated the person. Because all of a sudden, they were separated. Say, you have an anointing to do this. So you no longer belong to the sitting down and listening. You belong to the standing and ministering. How will your colleagues take it? Especially if something they even know more than you. You wouldn't have it easy. I believe when Aaron's children were roaming around in town, they were doing things the other children were doing. Maybe the other children were better, intelligent than them. But God said, wear them cassock. Now they are the untouchables. They have to enter the temple and do things. And hey, cool. One will say that I used to even beat him when we're playing. When we're wrestling, I put him down. Now when he wears cassock, I have to honor him. It's a separation. It's an anointing. You can't do anything about that. B is healing. One benefit of oil is healing. Mark 6:13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Hallelujah. This is where the Confucianists that are coming up are saying that this one was the disciples, it was not Jesus.
and that they were still practicing Judaism. Hey, doctrines are coming. No wonder Bible says in the last days. So now that Jesus is about to come, open your eyes wide. I was telling my wife, many Christians will become poor. Because the debate on tithe, a lot of people are clapping hands, but they don't know that they are clapping for their poverty. One, they claim that tithing is the law, as I said, was it on Sunday or so? And if we are elevated beyond human law, it means your giving must be above tithe. Because if tithe is the law and grace is higher than the law, then you must be giving 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70% to show grace. But here is it that people are not able to match the 10% and they say, oh, tithe is the Old Testament, which is not true anyway. Tithe is the tithe was there before Moses was even born. So if Moses brought the law, he couldn't have brought the law on tithe. But I can see a lot of Christians, even Ghana, it has come. So a lot of believers in the last days will be poor because the oil on their head will be lifted because they believe in a lie, and for lack of knowledge, my people are destroyed. Oh, people are already clapping hands. Tie there. And this year, the debate will hit on. But me standing here, it can't catch me because I know who I believe. I can also read the Bible. You don't need to write and read it and tell me. But they have a problem with this verse. And the other verse they have a problem with is also James 5, 14 and 15. Because they believe that when Jesus just died, these people were still carrying a little bit of Judaism. How do you know? And how can you substantiate that? Things the Bible didn't say, you are now saying them, and you are forcing people to believe. Is any sick among you? It's a question. Let him call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Look at it, it's in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oil brings healing. So olive oil has a healing property in it. People want to obey this verse, but they don't obey it from the start. You can see somebody who is offended that I am in this church. I was sick. Nobody visited me. Pastor didn't pray now. But when you read the scripture says, is any sick among you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. You have not told anybody you are sick. But the Bible says, let them call upon them. Some church people can lead themselves to hell when you realize it, but people don't know. They'll be there, something happens to them. They'll start complaining. And meanwhile, the shepherd doesn't know anything about what you are going through. You have done your own things, calculated your own things, taking your own actions. You have fixed yourself in your own corner. Then you point finger at the shepherd. God will deal with you. Because you have disobeyed the scripture. So let him call upon the elders of the church. Who is in trouble and will not call for help? When you are in trouble and you don't call for help, you are not in trouble and you don't need help. Hello? So that is it. I see people leave church because they were sick and pastor didn't visit them. They had a funeral and pastor didn't visit them. I really don't get myself bothered with those things. As long as I didn't hear and I don't know, I'm free. If you involve me, I involve myself. You leave me out, I'm out. And when you hear it and even you are talking, oh, pastor, we know that you are always busy. It's a lie. You are already complaining. You are backbiting. You are whining. You have told a lie and added. A lot of things make our anointing dry, but we don't know. So such people, mostly they mess up their own healing. See, oil brings cleansing and sanctification. Jeremiah 2:22. Olive oil was used in cleansing and sanctification in places like Morocco. Bible is saying it clearly here. For though thou wash thee with night and take thee much soap. Much soap. You put all the bathroom is full of ladder. Put. Master, you are still like that. Yet thy iniquity is marked before me. God said you go inside the bath, you put foam on yourself, you bath, you rinse, you put another, you bath. God said you are not clean. You are not. But when oil, holy oil is poured on you, even if you have not bathed, you are sanctified. Hallelujah. You are sanctified. You are cleansed. That is oil. D or four. Oil brings favor. Hallelujah. And this year, what we are crying for is favor. Oil brings favor. Oil brings favor. Esther 2:12. Esther 2, 12 to 18.
Now when every maid's turn was come to go to the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. Then thus came every maiden unto the king. Whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashas, the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Yep. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required, yes. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into the house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, the last one. The king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast, and he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. But grace and favor located Esther after she denied taking the things normally every woman would take to be able to gain favor in the sight of the king to become a wife. Now, what does that mean? When grace and favor locates you, earthly standards are ignored. You know, nowadays when they want to employ somebody, they say, we want to employ you so and so. We want somebody with 2 years of experience and what and what and what. Then I normally ask, who should they go and do the trial and error with to get the experience and come and work for you? Let them do the trial and error in you to your backyard. Who should take the mess? And why do they do that? 2 years experience from where? If everybody is after 2 years experience, they will not work. But I tell you, grace and favor will fall on you. They will waver that 2 years or 3 years experience and pick you. So there were things the chamberlains know, that before this king can accept you as a wife, when you appear at the door, your smell must be something he approves of. Esther said he doesn't need any of those things. He believes in the smell of the olive oil. He believes in the smell of the anointing of God. She didn't bother. And lo and behold, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for a daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hagar, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. You see, everybody was taking things and blah, 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 I love, blah, blah. But the favor made the chamberlain give Esther a secret. All this nyama nyama doesn't count. But you know, God's hand was inside. Be modest and be simple. It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What the king normally appoints and what they give anybody they want to brainwash to eat, to be intelligent and to appear before it, they say, we beg you, give us only herbs and water. We don't want the meat. We don't want any broth to drink. We don't want any kebab to chew. We want grass. The Bible says when they chew the grass, they appeared better than those who took kebab. May the house of the Lord and the oil in the house cause you to appear better than them that think that they have knowledge and power and wisdom more than you. Because you are not going to be trained by any chamberlain or trained by any king. You are going to be trained by the word of God. So you will appear exactly what God wants you to be on and appear. Hallelujah. So favor, anointing brings favor. Why did the chamberlain decide to separate Esther, and why did they give her that condition? It is because Esther entered the place with an anointing. She was well brought up in the house of somebody that feared God. Know that one. It is not that because she went there, they just saw her, Esther. She came inside there with her anointing. Mordecai had shown her the God of Israel. Yahweh, one God. Don't bow before any idol.
We said, well, and so she went there knowing that she belongs to the God of Israel. And immediately she entered, everybody spotted that this lady is different. So the favor makes them love her, give her secrets as to how to win the contest when she didn't ask for. May you get what you didn't ask for. You appear at a place and people are showing you things you didn't ask for. Hey, do you see this place? Don't go there. Oh, you didn't ask. This man, be careful. Oh, you didn't ask. Don't eat food here. Oh, you didn't ask. In the night, don't walk here. Oh, you didn't ask. But some of them, they want to. I went to move to establish a church. They frightened me. But that time, some Babalawo had captured the whole. They say by 6 p.m., everybody inside. Because there's a rock that gets up and is rolling in the night. And when it catches you outside, I say, me, rock. I started holding all night. That was how we broke the thing. All night. You should come and catch. Go to the stadium. Two people. The whole town. We are calling the thing. You should come and catch us and we'll rest. Yeah, bro. Just come and finish us so that we'll rest. When I say they'll say don't do that, don't go and somebody put fear on you. I'm saying that because some people too will spoil your destiny because they say, hey, never eat aquila. Don't eat this thing. Don't do this. That one too, it has its own pros and cons. Let God lead you. Because some people, the places they are saying you shouldn't go, that's the place you should go. The people they are saying don't go closer, those are the people you should go closer. So you must know how to balance it. But I can tell you, Mordecai counsel Esther well. Godly counsel. Hallelujah. Anointing on your head will cause you to sacrifice. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. The anointing makes God accept your sacrifice. You see, even Cain and Abel, the Bible says it. It means Abel had some oil on his head, some favor and some mercy. You know, mercy doesn't mean that you haven't done wrong. Mercy might not have been that Abel didn't do things wrong, but the mercy covered Abel. The grace covered him. So his sacrifice was accepted. Let me tell you something. If mercy and grace doesn't cover you, you may think that you are sacrificing for God, doing everything for God, but you will see it up. I don't know whether you have heard somebody say, we have served God, didn't see anything. Your head lacks oil. Hello? How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal spirit, offer himself without spot to God? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It makes your service to God accepted, your prayer accepted, and anointing brings sacrifice. You know, when you see people working for God and they are not bothered, whether they are remunerated or not, whether somebody says thank you or not, whether somebody says God bless you or not, it's an anointing. Because ideally, some will take break and ask for those things. Recently, I saw an interview of gospel musicians that are confessing, I think yesterday or so, social media, that are confessing that they went for power, black power, to perform. So I asked myself, the Christians who liked the song, what was moving you? God, this is a power anointing from Obanje. And you are enjoying that thing. It means that you yourself, something they wrong you. Something they wrong you. But that is how you sacrifice, and your sacrifice is accepted because you are anointed. Jesus's body or sacrifice on the cross would have been of no effect if he was not carrying an anointing. Because an anointed man dying there was the thing that made all of us free. If you are doubting what I said, didn't two people die with him? Do you remember them? Their death was qua. He didn't add an iota of anything to. In fact, they were so nonsensical that they didn't even mention their names. Do you know their names? They say one on the left, one on the right. Those are their names. Thieves, one on the left, one on the right. They didn't mention, but they said Jesus of Nazareth. And they even placed something on his head, the King of the Jews. This one they placed very, very thief. The other one too, very, very thief. We never knew their names. And that is because they were not anointed. If they were anointed, they were anointed at the other side. We don't need that anointed. Thief man anointed. Yampe. Yampe. They were also being sacrificed, but it didn't help us. Why? What they carry. But may your sacrifices be accepted in the name of Jesus. The last one is fuel for fire or light. Examples
of the benefits of oil. Fuel for light. Exodus 27, 20 and 21. Exodus 27, 20 and 21. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beating for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Oil was demanded to put light before God permanently. As long as anointing is on your head, you are a firebrand standing in front of God. God sees your light. A man of God, I think, was it Kenneth Hagin or Maurice Cerullo, was caught up into the heavens. And God said, look at this, my city. It's dark. But do you see the lights? Wherever you see light, that is one of my children, that city. So God identified his own in that city. And the lights were very scanty. It should be Kenneth Hagin or Maurice. I read this over 10 years ago. He was caught literally into heaven, and God made him like to see hope and to see how many Christians were in hope. And the Christians were depicted by lights. And they realized that, in fact, they are dotted in the city. The darkness was bigger. But I believe today you are one of the lights in this city. For your sake, God wouldn't destroy this city. Without oil, the shepherds can give light and warmth to their sheep. Even right now, poultry farm, now they use electric bulbs. But if you know your Bible well, before Jesus came, what were the shepherds doing? They set fire and they were warming themselves. Oil produces fuel for fire and light. So when you are having oil on your head, hey, you have fire, you have light. Wherever you go and there's darkness, people must see Jesus. They must see light. They must see God. Any city they send you, you will triumph because you establish the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. So that's the powerful light. The light from the olive oil, which burns in the temple, which little Samuel went to attend to and was always lying in the temple. If it was not important, God won't call him. And that light never went out. Perpetually. So somebody has to sleep. That's what they said. Where is it? It's from evening to morning before the morning. It doesn't mean the morning time it goes off. It still burns. And there were people in charge of that. Hallelujah. Now the last one, 3. Oil on your head. That is the Psalm 23, the last one. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oil on your head makes you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Them that come to church and backslide lack oil. Them that know God and go back and sit in the house, they lack oil. Their anointing has dried up. I was telling you on Sunday, some of them still spray heavy tongues to confuse people. There is nothing in those tongues. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because the oil doesn't follow those people. If it was your property, you can still say you have it. But as long as it's God's property, he has taken it from you. You can still be speaking the tongues, but it doesn't work. If you are not fortunate, the devil will be corrupted. Oil on your head makes you dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Without the anointing, you will leave God's presence. Satan will enter you and take you out of God's house without the anointing. Huh. So people who stay in church, it's an anointing. Because some can stay. Some can stay. So me, I just thank God that since I entered church, I never turned my back. I've seen people turn their backs. But God has granted me favor. No. To become, go before God and run back. What else are you looking for? It just means that the anointing didn't touch you. You only came to a society. You can go and sit back in the house, criticize church, say all those kind of nonsense. The only thing we can say is that oil has been lifted off your head. You have no longer any anointing of God. You are on your own. So the anointing keeps you in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, verse 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That is a backslider's prayer when the anointing was coming back. Yes? Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So even David knew that when you leave God's presence, he takes his Holy Spirit away from you. You can be pretending. It's not there. You will shake like Samson. Nothing will come. In fact, the worst, the devil will take over and be performing some things. And that is to deceive you to be entrenched in occultism. Go back to the 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. The number one thing is that it's a clean heart. Because most of the people that run away from church, they have a poison heart. Your heart is not clean. That's why you backslided. So David said, before I can come back to God, number one thing, clean heart. How do you know that person coming, you are receiving, he doesn't have a dagger? If you like, read the Bible. There was a king that somebody said, I have a message for you. A very important message, king. And he asked all his lieutenant to go out. And the Bible described the king's power. He said he was an ogre. He sat on the chair and his stomach was rolling. So the guy went closer, king, and removed a dagger. He put the dagger in the guy's belly. His hand entered. That means that there was a lot of fat. The hand entered. He wound out his intestines. The king died. He laid him there, opened the back door and ran away. The border guards were still at the gate, watching over their king, fools. They waited. They didn't hear anything. Before they entered, their king was dead. And the man had vanished. He didn't go to greet your king with clean hands. Create in me a clean heart, O God. A renew a right spirit. Look, right spirit. We all have spirits, but whether they are right. And most of us, majority of the times, we don't have a right spirit. Renew a right spirit. David, that was why God forgave David, because David knew that where I am now, my spirit is not right. No, I can look into myself and know that the spirit is not any year. You yourself, you can know when your spirit is not right. You're full of bitterness, anger, pride, jealousy, envy. Only that you use flesh to cover it. We haven't seen it, but it is inside. So you must be able to know whether your spirit is right or wrong or bad within you. That's why they say within. Nobody sees it. A dem give you 32 and is managing how to kill you. This life. Now go within me. 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. It means that when you go out of the presence of God, it's because the spirit in you is not correct. The oil in you is dried out. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. So if God casts you out, in the Old Testament, God can cast you out. But in the New Testament, he said he will not cast away anybody that comes to him. So when you see yourself out, you casted yourself out. God didn't cast you out. And when you cast yourself out, you get the results like God himself casting you out. One, he will take his Holy Spirit. Even as a secular worker, when you are resigning from your work, they will ask you to bring the bungalow, bring the car, bring everything that is in your possession. Why do you think in the spirit they will ask you to send it away? You have left God. You are going to serve Babalawo when he has given you his spirit. No. You've left God. Your spirit is polluted and contaminated. And the Holy Spirit can follow you. No, it will remain and you go. That's how demons will enter. Go to the last one. Restore unto me. No, go and read that scripture. You see, David knew God. He knew how to go back to God. Look at the way he started it. And now, he has gone to what he wants. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This is what you can lose when you don't have anointing, when your head lacks anointing, and when God leaves you. You cannot express joy. You don't have a free spirit. You are bound. Everybody's free. Your hands are free. Your legs are free. But you know that inside you, they have tied you. You know so? Maliyakamo taka. Baruli misite. Golu yekemi sataya. Indele baba. So oil in your head. When you know that that zeal is in you, it's not, you know, it's not like if I don't come to church, they'll say I don't come to church. No, that thing is in you. Use it as the basis of your faith and anointing in God and demand things. You're anointed. No, that thing is an anointing on your head. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wasn't forced. I was happy. It's an anointing. No. Some people get into the presence of God is wahala. They virtually drag themselves inside. Even Sunday upon Sunday, forget about weekdays. It's an anointing. I have been saying since I got born again, yes, I can count how many Sundays I have missed. For over 20-something years. And God has been faithful. I don't think I have been sick lying down on any Sunday and I didn't go to church. It's not, I can't remember. Sunday, I was sick.
God has been faithful. Even when I'm sick, I can still appear. Incidental, all the serious things happen within the week. But by Sunday, then you realize I'm in church. It's an anointing. Because the anointing keeps you in the house of the Lord. I want us to rise up on our feet.
I believe you have been blessed by this message. For further information, please contact us on 0243-172806. Follow us on Facebook, Fountain Gate Chapel, Glorious Pastures. Oh, God richly bless you.